This is the BBC.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Come here often.
Well, anyone, I have some announcing to do.
Oh, what'd you say?
Oh, nothing much. Things like, this is the BBC.
Oh, that's very good, isn't it? Go on, say again, just one.
No, I'd rather not.
No, go on, be a devil.
No, it sounds so trite.
Well, trite.
Oh, very well. This is the BBC.
Only marvellous. Good. Here, Hugh, what would you say if you were an announcer and you had to say something like that? How would you do it?
Something like that.
Ooh, that's nice too. I say, Betty, come here and be an announcer.
Why, is he nice?
Charming. You know, he says things beautifully.
And he's got the cleverest little catchphrase.
Oh, how divine. I must listen.
And so you shall. Go on, Mr. Announcer.
Oh, right. This is the BBC.
Oh, it's out of this world. Oh.
She hasn't finished yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, whatever happens during the next 30 minutes will certainly be beyond our ken.
Oh, ain't nice. Wait, nice.
Do you mind being quiet?
Hey, what did he say?
He said, keep quiet.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Among those taking part are Hillaris and Upjohn Crumble, Marjorie Hockflitch, Sir Cranworthy Crittington Groyle, Fatima Higgins, Gladys Rumbold, Alderman George Simcox, and, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne. Hello and good evening. Well, first of all, here's a special message to all our listeners in Iceland. Wrap up. Well, now, tonight I was going to talk to you about current affairs, but quite frankly, I've never had an affair with the current, so instead, let me tell you about some of the things that happened to me last week. On Monday, I attended a wine tasting festival. On Tuesday, I was told that I had a good time on Monday. But just the same, Tuesday evening, I popped into the Folies Bergères, but there wasn't much on, so instead, I went along to the Poetry Lovers Guild at Oxshott's. And I listened to some rather unusual verse reading given by a young lady from Gloucester. She'd obviously led a very full life. On Wednesday, I went to Gloucester. Friday, I couldn't move. But Saturday was really an eventful day. I remember that morning, I'd got up earlier than usual. Yes, Prudence, I'm in the bath. What is it?
Mr. Owen, your breakfast's nearly ready.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Prudence.
Yes, sir?
Have you seen anything of my midget submarine?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's funny. It was here in the bath the last time I reviewed the fleet. Now, let's see. Cruisers, battleship, destroyer, aircraft carrier. Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, it's all right, Prudence. I found it. I'll come right down.
Morning, Mr. Owen.
Oh, good morning, Prudence.
Here's your paper, sir, and the morning post. Oh, now come along, sir. Your breakfast will be getting cold.
All right. Well, now let's just have a look at the crossword, shall we? One down, what you'd expect to find in a monastery garden. Four letters. Oh, I can't be bothered with the thing this morning. Let's have a look at some of these letters. Ah, now here's an invitation to dinner.
Captain and Mrs. Barrington Wycherley Struve request the pleasure of your company at a champagne supper at Barrington Towers on the occasion of their winning the first divvy on the football pool.
Yeah, that sounds rather jolly. Oh, here's another invitation. Now, what does this one say?
Mr. Humphrey Boreham Stiff will be at home at 7:30 on the evening of the 14th.
Yes, yes. Yes, and so will Kenneth Horne. Oh, this one looks interesting.
We should like to have you for luncheon on the 28th.
Signed, the South Borneo Cannibals Association. Now, what else is there? This one looks exciting. Exotic perfume, tiny, ladylike handwriting. Who could it be? Oh, it's from Pat Lancaster.
Dear Ken,
I've been going through several songs for the new show, and I think perhaps you might like a song from South Pacific. It's called A Cockeyed Optimist. P.S. It goes like this. When the sun is the bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen. So they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incurably green. I have heard people rant and rave and bellow that we're done and we might as well be dead. But I'm only a cockeyed optimist, and I can't get it into my head. I hear the human race hasn't very far to go, but every whippoorwill is selling me a bill and telling me it just ain't so. I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a goat with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. No. Human race is fallen on its face and hasn't very far to go. But every whippoorwill is selling me a pill and telling me it just ain't so. I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a goat with a thing called hope, and I can't get.
Yes, I think the song she suggests should be jolly good. In fact, I can't wait to hear it. I get a nice round of applause afterwards, probably, too. Oh, dear, look, what's this? OHMS. Good heavens, it's from my income tax office.
Dear sir, you may not be aware of this, but a proposal has been made to pull down your local income tax offices and to erect in its place a theatre. A protest meeting will be held at 11:15 on Saturday when we hope to have your support.
What a nerve. I wouldn't dream of going.
P.S. Don't forget you still owe us some money.
You can certainly count on my support. Now, what time does it say? 11:15? Oh, good heavens, I must hurry. I just made it. Lucky it's only four doors away.
A protest meeting? Right inside, sir. You're just in time.
My friends, this is indeed a most serious business. If this tax office is pulled down, it will be the thin end of the wedge. More and more tax offices will go, and less people will be paying income tax.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
My friends, one day income tax may become a memory of the past, but mark my words, no form of entertainment, however sordid or debased it might be, will ever take the place of the living, breathing commissioners of inland revenue.
Mr. the Minister Chairman,
yes?
May I make a proposition?
All depends what it is, madam.
Well, in the view of the fact that our premises are to be demolished to make way for a place of entertainment, I should like to put it to the meeting that we anticipate their scheme by ourselves supplying entertainment in income tax offices, you know, a sort of pay-as-you-laugh service. Or the assessments with a smile.
Well, at that point I left. Quite frankly, the whole idea of entertainment in income tax offices gave me quite a lot to think about. I mean, can you imagine what it'd be like to walk into your local tax office one day and be greeted by this sort of thing?
Well, hello there. This is your genial host and compere, 247/2984/38, subsection D, saying good afternoon and welcome to the Income Tax Show. Yes, if we can bring just one smile to one little face today, then somebody slipped up somewhere. And now, dear sir or madam, with reference to our show, I am commanded by the Commissioners of Inland Revenue to bring you Government Grant and his Whitehall Steel Van.
Income tax, income tax, everybody hates income tax. People start some filled with hope
till they get that little buff envelope.
A married man with no family was claiming an allowance on Schedule D. He came to children, and in that place, he wrote the words, "Watch this space."
Income tax, income tax, everybody hates income tax. 90 and 6 is the surtax rate. It's a wonder everybody doesn't emigrate. Hey, oh, hey, oh.
Tax men coming, I want to go home.
A businessman whose name you needn't know to Paris with his secretary had to go. The expense was allowed as necessary. A successful trip, not a word to busy.
Income tax, income tax. Everybody hates income tax. We report you the news that you wanted to hear in tonight's report on the fiscal year.
Olay.
And now, to deal with your tax problems, here is Miss Romney Marshes.
It's been a worrying week for some of you. The particularly anxious blue eyes of Finchley. No, dear, under no circumstances should you accept a present of 51% of the preferred ordinary shares, or you'll find that in no time at all he'll be giving you the business. And now we turn to Lonely of the Conservative Club, Moscow. You say that since you've been out of the country, your wife's taxes have got in arrears. Tell her as nicely as you can to take them out of her ears and send them to the nearest tax office. Well, now, our last problem comes from a Goldilocks of South Kensington, who is actually with us today. Would you come up here, please, Goldilocks of South Kensington? Goldilocks, come along, Goldilocks, dear. Don't be bashful now. Come along. That's right.
Well, I wish I hadn't written to you now.
My dear, we're all friends here. Now, what is your problem, Goldilocks?
Well, you know on the income tax form there's a little box affair and it says, do not write in this space.
Yes?
Well, I wrote in it.
Oh, did you now? Well, let's have a look at what you wrote. Oh, well, I think this should be dealt with by our expert from the Treasury, Mr. Maltravers.
Hello? Who called? Somebody want me?
Yes, Mr. Maltravers. Perhaps you'd read this.
Hey, that's putting it a bit strong, isn't it? I'd never have thought this of you, dear.
I didn't write it. He did.
Oh, that's all right, then, Mrs. Marshy. You'd better leave this to me. Now, sir, first of all, I think I should point out that, of course, we can't possibly do what you suggest. However, if you feel that we have assessed you rather harshly, then we'll give you a chance to reduce the tax payable in our new quiz game, Beat the Assessor.
Oh, thank you.
Now then, sir, for each question answered correctly, we halve your tax, but should you fail to answer them, then your tax is doubled, right?
Right.
Right. First question. What is the difference between a red plush carpet? Give reasons.
Well, I suppose you might say that the overall effect is dependent upon...
I'm sorry, sir, your time is up. Bad luck. That's doubled your assessment, but you're still in the game. Now, question number two, listen carefully. There is a cage 30 feet long containing a full-grown Bengal tiger. At each end of the cage, there is a hole through which the tiger can put its head. Right? The tiger runs down the cage at 30 miles an hour and sticks its head through one hole. He then runs up the cage at 40 miles per hour and sticks his head through the other hole. Then down the cage at 50 miles an hour and sticks his head through the first hole, up the cage at 60 miles an hour and sticks his head through the other. Now the question is, at what speed will the tiger be travelling when it can stick its head through both holes at once?
Let me see, four no trumps.
I'm sorry, sir. You failed to beat the assessor, which means you now owe us the sum of £15,942. But now it's the jackpot question and your chance to wipe out your entire debt by answering just one simple musical question. Right, can we have the blindfold, please? There, that's it. Now, you can't see, can you, sir?
No.
Good, then listen. Now, what tune is this and who is playing it?
Soldier, soldier, won't you marry me with your musket, fife and drum?
Oh, thank goodness I'd recognize that anywhere. It's Soldier, Soldier, played in the distinctive style of the Malcolm Mitchell Trio.
Soldier, soldier, won't you marry me with your musket, fife and drum? How could I marry such a pretty girl as me when I've got no boots to put on?
Oh, how can I marry such a pretty girl as me when I've got no boots to put on?
Well, up to the cobbler she did go as fast as she could run.
Run!
Bought him a pair, the best that were there, and the soldier put them on.
She bought him a pair of the best that were there, and the soldier put them on.
Soldier, soldier, won't you marry me with your musket, fife and drum? How could I marry such a pretty girl as thee when I've got no socks to put on?
How can I marry such a pretty girl as thee when I've got no socks to put on?
Off to the haberdasher she did go as fast as she could run.
Run.
Bought him a pair of the best that were there and the soldier put them on.
She bought him a pair of the best that were there and the soldier put them on.
Soldier, soldier, won't you marry me with your musket, fife and drum? How could I marry such a pretty girl as thee when I've got no pants to put on?
How could I marry such a pretty girl as thee when I've got no pants to put on?
Well, off to the tailor she did go as fast as she could run.
Run.
Bought him a pair, the best that were there, and the soldier put them on.
She bought him a pair of the best that were there, and the soldier put them on.
Soldier, soldier, won't you marry me with your musket, fife and drum? Oh, how could I marry such a pretty girl as thee?
With a wife and a baby at home.
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 Come to the special Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, each week at this time, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators will bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight, we present a close-up on atomic power. Is it here to stay?
And if so, are we? Well, now, what is atomic power? I'll just ask this policeman. Morning, Constable.
Good morning, sir.
I wonder if you could help.
Yes, certainly, sir.
Well, now, Constable, what is atomic power?
Oh, well, now, sir, atomic power, now. That happens to be one of my pet subjects, as you might say.
Oh, splendid. Well, perhaps you'd tell us all you know.
Certainly, certainly, thanks, sir. On the 15th of June, I was proceeding in a southeasterly direction up Half Moon when I perceived a motor vehicle parked on one side of the road. Thinking there was something odd about the date, I approached.
Yes. Quite so, officer, yes. But what is atomic power?
I'm coming to that, sir.
Well, yeah.
Well, I take out my notebook and I duly goes up to the owner of the aforementioned motor vehicle and I says, hello, I say. I suppose you're aware, sir, that this here vehicle is causing an obstruction of the other motor vehicles using the street.
Yeah, Constable, very interesting indeed. But what is atomic power?
Let me tell it in my own way, sir. Now, at this point, I observed the driver of this particular vehicle was beginning to get a bit nasty about the situation. Well, now, you know us London policemen. It isn't often we have to resort to the use of force in the execution of our duty, but on this occasion, I'm afraid I had to bring into operation my handcuffs and take the driver into custody. And that's why, as you can see, one handcuff is attached thus to my right wrist, and the other... Well, now he's gone.
What is atomic power? Doesn't anybody know what it is?
Yes, I think I may be able to help. Here's my card.
Oh, thank you. Very glad to have you with us, Mr. Henry Spindlethrow of the International Atomic Research Association. Well, now, sir, perhaps you'll just briefly tell us all about it, will you?
Certainly. Well, you see, a formulaid for this in the express here of a mathematics. Would you like that?
Yes, I would. Please go on those lines.
Well, the average curricula at 11 or plus C gives it a half CM of squared. You see? And that, and the basic fundamental... A fundamental of it was the first formation of the solar system where... exploding...
Yes. Yes, I quite understand that. Now, a lot of us I know, I and in common with many other people, have been worried about fallout. What is your view on that?
I'm glad you asked me that one. Yes. Well, where that of the Merse in the Orly Doom, fallout folly and constrain it. The Portia heard the Sutton Merchant of Venison.
Now, tell me, how does nuclear fission come into all this?
Ah, yes, yes. Well, now, there is a real concentrail before the zeta explodes most of the escape electrodes. See? And it manifests, or shall I give you a manifest and a practical for
I think it?
It
would be better that way.
Yes, well, there you see, in the average lighter, will gradually develop its sound to a very tiny triddly-howdy lighter, which explodes and burn away half a cigar into the throcus of the larynx of the human being. You see? Also, it's going to make it simpler for the housewife in the laundrette where rotating the blankie. Oh, yes.
Yes, that I can understand very easily. Now, sir, it has been nice of you to come along here today. Have you got some message that you'd like to go away with and, or send over to mankind, really, to tell us about atomic power and the benefits that it can bring?
May I do it in the words of the poem?
Yes, I'd be glad if you would.
Yes. Well, here am, and where that, or the average walkie, I'll do Shakespeare for it again, if I may the most, where you walk or strutty on that stage, then scan the leader for a newspaper page and suffer your most for day. The human being put his nose to the grindstone, all will be well it for him. Oh, yeah.
Well, now that we know what atomic power is, how will it affect our everyday lives? Well, one day, undoubtedly, it will take the place of our present heating system.
George!
What is it?
It's getting quite cold in here. Pop out and fill up the scuttle with some more uranium.
Oh, all right. I'll just chuck this last bit on the fire. Horrible, slaty stuff.
And then again, in the kitchen of the future, pride of place will go to the atomic pressure cooker.
Edith, Charles, Peter, Robin, come along. Dinner's on the ceiling.
But perhaps one of the most interesting developments will come when it's possible atomically to control the weather.
Hello? Airman Stratton? Yes. Oh, just one moment. I'll put you through to the weather controller.
Weather controller?
Agriculture here. I say, old man, the crops in the Dorset area are getting a bit parched. Could you possibly lay on a rather heavy downpour for us?
Yes, got that. Heavy downpour, Dorset area. Just a minute. Hello, your heavy downpour will be starting in 10 seconds from now.
Cold
The rain come down a bit sudden, didn't it? My rheumatism and half twinging me is something chronic.
Ah, fair throwing it down. It is terrible weather. I don't care what they say. If you ask me, I reckon it's all these atoms that are doing it.
Yes, I think it is too. Well, so much for the future. Now, what of atomic power today? Well, it's still mostly in the experimental stage. And the other day, I visited one of our principal atomic research stations.
Halt! Who goes there?
All right, no need for alarm. It's only me.
Oh, who is me?
Kenneth Horne. I'm from the BBC. No. No, you don't understand. I'm not from workers' playtime. I got a personal letter of introduction to the director of research.
Very good, sir. You'll find him in the radioactivity room.
I see. How will I recognize him?
Quite easy, sir. He's the one that glows.
Thank you.
Oh, Kenneth Horne?
Yes, that's right. Well, now, sir, perhaps you'd tell me exactly what you do here.
Oh, pleasure. Well, now, you see this machine here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think it is?
What, this one? Well, I'd say it was a superheterodynamic regurgitating calculator.
However did you know?
It was just a shot in the dark. How does it work?
Well, first we get some plutonium, and then we get some uranium, and we mix them all together in this cyclotron, and then we turn on the gas, and before you can say Joseph Locke, we raise it to a temperature of 60,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Good gracious, what's it used for?
Making toast. Oh, now, you just make yourself at home, and don't steal any secrets.
Bye.
Well. Well, that gives you a rough idea of how they're carrying on in atomic research. But what of the future? Soon, perhaps, interplanetary travel will become an everyday affair, enabling the people from two different worlds to meet in friendship and universal goodwill. Perhaps even in our time, we shall see a flying saucer from another planet land in the very heart of London. Its passenger to be greeted with traditional British ceremony.
I'm very sorry, sir. You can't park that here. Now, I want your name and number. I'm not...
This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now. And remember, whatever you do, don't gossip about butter knives. You know how those things spread. Come on. You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Ron Moody, Patricia Lancaster, Stanley Unwin, the Malcolm Mitchell Trio, and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jakes Brown.